The Persians adopted imagery that had long been used in Mesopotamia, partly as a way to legitimize their own rule. One reason the Persians chose to incorporate old-fashioned styles into their art was to show that these new rulers from a foreign land had appropriated the same ideals that had served earlier leaders. As a foreign power, the Persians were eager to prove that they had a legitimate claim to govern. By presenting themselves as the next generation in a long line of Mesopotamian rulers, they could help to create ties to the local culture. The Persian governance of its empire is displayed in its art and gives us a sense of what made them distinct. Rather than showing the complete dominance over another group, as the Assyrians enjoyed doing, the Persians preferred to emphasize the benefits of their rule. And often they showed the different regions of their empire bringing tribute, the taxes that were demanded by the Persian king, in a peaceful way. With a shift in focus from war to a calm procession of happy members of the provinces bringing gifts to the king, their beloved king, this gives Persian art a much more timeless, perpetual feeling than we see with the Assyrians. So already we see a contrast in the different cultures that we'll be exploring. The Assyrians want to record individual events that really happened. The Persians want to record an idea of what their rule brings to the people they govern. The final empire that we will explore is that created by Alexander the Great. Alexander crossed from Greece into Asia in the late 4th century, claiming revenge for the Persian attacks on Greece. Alexander's well-trained army and his own strategic brilliance combined to defeat the Persians and their last king, Darius III, and this brought Alexander both enormous power and unimaginable wealth. He would begin to adopt Persian customs as a way to effectively govern this new territory. And it's somewhat ironic that as a Greek invader taking up the rule of the Persian Empire, they themselves, the Persians themselves, were invaders in Mesopotamia. So we'll see as we end with Alexander, the many layers of cultures that we will come to understand in this course. As East and West meet, West will bow to the East with its imagery. A silver coin from the Iraq Museum, stamped with the image of Alexander the Great, may have paid a mercenary soldier from a later ruler who tried to recreate Alexander's empire. No king did this successfully or for very long. On the reverse of the coin is the Greek god Zeus, who is seated on his throne. These images, brought from Greece and carried as far east as India, illustrate the interaction between East and West after Alexander's rule. Material objects of the type belonging to the Iraq Museum were found in excavations in Iraq and in neighboring countries. We will return frequently to archaeology in order to learn about the history and culture of this region. Artifacts such as this were used by people thousands of years ago in their temples, in their homes, sometimes even in their burials. And as we create our history of Mesopotamia, it can seem as if we have a very clear view and understanding of what life was like in ancient Mesopotamia. In fact, these artifacts only hint at the very full and rich civilization that was developed there. The looting of the Iraq Museum and archaeological sites in the country can also remind us of the widespread effects of war on cultures throughout human history. When a text from Babylon, for example, records the lament for the destruction of that city, we can keep in mind these objects from the Iraq Museum and others that we'll encounter as a way to help us imagine what culture has been lost. In this course, we will explore and study many firsts: the first cities, the first writing systems, the first epic poems, and the first empires. A study of these important ideas within their historical context, how the Mesopotamians understood them and used them, will allow us to gain insight into when and how they emerged and changed over the millennia, and how we employ them today. My name is Alexis Castor. I teach in the Department of Classics at Franklin and Marshall College, where I teach Greek, Roman, and Near Eastern history. My PhD is in Classical and Near Eastern Archaeology from Bryn Mawr College, and one of the ways I look at ancient history is to use artifacts as well as historical texts to understand how these two different types of evidence combine to teach us about the cultures that were lost millennia ago. In the next lecture, we will discuss the geography and the environment in Iraq. We will look at a combination of factors that were important in the rise of cities and the development of this very rich civilization in the land between the rivers.